Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. This time of prayer, God, we believe in prayer because we believe in you. You're the God who answers prayer. You are the God who's not in heaven today, wringing your hands, wondering, what am I going to do with all those folks who have encountered this storm? Lord, you are God, as we've sung about today. It is in Christ alone that we stand. By the power of the Spirit of Almighty God here, we lift up our brothers and sisters that are out working on their homes. We lift up all of those that are without electricity and power. Lord, it doesn't take for just a minute to recognize we're not in control of anything. You are. You alone are God. And I thank you so much for these wonderful men and women who work tirelessly. Yeah, I know they get paid, but God, they're in harm's way and they're stepping out for us. And they love, I had several folks from CDE call me and text me and ask for our prayers. And so Second Mile is praying for all those workers today who are out, been up all night, out working and serving our community. Thank you for them. Most of all, we're thankful for the one who's at work 24/7 in our lives. We're thankful for the Spirit of the Lord Jesus that's here right now. In His name we pray, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. All right. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you would turn there real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And we'll dispense with the standing and rising and sitting back down. But you honor God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Somebody say hallelujah. Of our trouble, that word means tribulation, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. The director of a teen challenge, Gene, is it Garcia? Yeah, I got that right. Gene, ask God to bless the word today, would you? Yes. Thank you. God really began to burden my heart 2 or 3 weeks ago for this message. And I heard a message many years ago from Dr. Bob Pittman, who really drove me to my study on this topic, this issue that we're looking at here today. And I want to kind of introduce it like this. How many city folks we got here today? Are y'all not proud to be city folks? All right. How many country folks we got here today? All right. About 50-50. All right. Good. I love country folks and I love city folks. Amen. And, you know, but country folks and city folks are just a little bit different. Country folks, well, they seem to enjoy life at a little slower pace. Country folks will kind of dress a little bit different than city folks do. I like the way country folks cook. You know, I have never seen an advertisement at a restaurant that says, come on in and enjoy some city cooking. Have y'all? I love country folks and I love city folks. the city folks go to the Nashville Symphony Orchestra. Country folks go to a singing. Yeah, y'all got it. City folks go to visit their in-laws. Country folks go over to mom and them's. I like the way country folks talk. My mama, there was five of us young ones, and dad was working all the time, and she needed some help at the house. And so dad hired a lady to come in once a week and help us help her with the house cleaning and the ironing and that kind of thing. And she was a country lady. Her name was Ruby. I'll never forget Ruby. What a blessing she was. And she wore those, how many of you girls remember those old flour sack dresses? And she would wear her hair in a bun. And on the days that she didn't have her hair in a bun, she wore a do-rag. You remember Susan, Miss Ruby? And Ruby was country when country wasn't cool. And she used to, she was a fine Christian lady. She was always quoting the Bible. And I remember her saying, God helps those who help themselves. And she quoted that so much, I thought it was in the Bible. But did you know that's not in the Bible? God helps those who can't even help themselves. That's what the Bible teaches. And another one of her Bible quotes, or I thought was a Bible quote, were, idle hands are the devil's workshop. That's not in the Bible either. Sometimes we think that the Bible says things that it really doesn't say. Here's another one. Charity begins at home. That's usually said by somebody who doesn't want to give to a special love offering. And I heard this one this past week at our prayer meeting over at Hilldale Baptist Church. Somebody said in our prayer time, spare the rod. You know what the Bible says? He that spares the rod hates the child. A little bit different. And here's another one. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. That sounds scriptural, doesn't it? Only problem was that is that it comes out of a book written by William Cowper's. All of you have heard this one. Every one of you. And you've heard it so many times, you probably believe it. You think that it's in the Bible. I hear it all the time. And the reason I bring it up is because when we hear this, it leaves us frustrated. It leaves us feeling defeated. And it leaves us feeling like, you know what? I'm a failure. I'm defeated. You may have heard it from a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or maybe even a pastor. Here it is. Are you ready? God won't put more on you than you can bear. God won't put more on you than you can bear. How many of you have heard that? All of you. And we've heard it so many times we believe it. The only problem is that's not true. God will put more on you than you can bear. How can I stand? A few years ago, I did the funeral of a 17-year-old teenage girl, beautiful girl. She died of an overdose. And how can I walk in to the funeral home and tell her parents, God will never put more on you than you can bear? I had a man tell me last week, he said, Brother Cal, I've got stage 4 cancer. Well, God will never put more on you than you can stand up to. I've done a funeral before of children who were killed by a drunk driver. God, never going to put more on you than you can bear? How can you tell a mama or a daddy that? But you know, God does put more on us than we can bear. And that's what Paul's telling us here in these verses. Now, the first thing that he points out here in verse 8 to us, he talks about the reality of suffering. The reality of suffering. Look at verse 8a. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us what that suffering was, what that burden, what that trouble, that tribulation that Paul had. But they had some trouble up in Asia, and so there's no sense in trying to figure out what it was. But in other places, Paul does identify his problems. And listen to these troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 28. From the Jews, five times, Paul said, I received 40 stripes minus one. That's what's called scourging. Jesus went through that. Five times, Paul did it. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, when in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. I mean, Paul had been beaten with rods. He'd been stoned and left for dead outside the city gates. He'd been scourged with a cat of nine tails, not once, not twice, but five times. He'd been shipwrecked three times and spent over 24 hours out in the open sea. Paul had been robbed. He'd been persecuted by the Jews. I mean, this man knew what trouble was all about. He'd been hungry, thirsty, sleep deprived. I mean, whatever it was, Paul had been there and done that and been through it. And so, and you know, and by the way, I don't know what this heal it and feel it, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it bunch does with Scripture like this. You hear this lie every now and then by this prosperity gospel. If you're not healthy and wealthy and on top of your game, you're out of God's will. Listen, folks. We should not be surprised when we find ourselves in the midst of suffering, because that, you know, when you got saved, you didn't get a get out of trouble free card. Amen? And so Paul's talking here about the reality of suffering. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I'll guarantee you there's some people in here, this room right now, that are undergoing some type of suffering. Some type of trouble. And suffering is real. And yet, God will never put more on you than you can bear. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. And then Paul moves on to the rigors of suffering. Suffering can be intense. Verse 8b back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. That word burden means to be weighed down. It has its roots in an animal that was a beast of burden, that was a donkey, that was so laden down and so burdened with the weight of supplies, the donkey was about to fall to its knees. Burdened. Paul's saying that he was completely overwhelmed by circumstances. And so much that the burden was more than he could bear, And of course, the word despair means to be without hope. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul being without hope? Well, that's what the Bible said. It was so bad that he couldn't hold up. He'd lost all hope. The only answer to that particular problem was his own death. You know, sometimes death can be a welcome friend. Amen? And so suffering is real, and man, it's rigorous. And yet, we Baptists are famous for this. When the going gets tough, oh, suck it up. Come on. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm a self-made man. I can get through this. Y'all with me? I mean, that's kind of the American way, right? And that's where some of us are right now. Feelings of hopelessness. I guarantee you, there's some people here this morning, and you put your good face on, and you've walked in here like everything's all right, and you're crushed. You're filled with despair. You've got feelings of hopelessness and helplessness like the Apostle Paul had. And you're tired of the battle. And if you're not, it's coming your way. Now, I know y'all didn't come to hear this. God won't put more on you than you can bear. Have mercy. Well, here's what I wanted to get to. Look at verse 9. Here's the reason for suffering. You ever wondered why? Why, God, why am I having to go through this? I mean, come on, y'all. Take your mask off and just say amen. I mean, hadn't you ever asked that question? Why? Why is my boy having to go through this mess? Why did my spouse leave me? There's the reality of it. And I want to tell you, when suffering comes, it doesn't play. How many of y'all ever heard somebody just say, I wished I was dead? I grew up with a boy in high school who said that every day. And he said it so much, I just kind of started laughing at it. But that boy was depressed all the way through high school. And we sure didn't help. Wished I did. That Paul felt like he'd received a death sentence. He was in such trouble. But now, listen to the reason for suffering. Verse 9. Here's what I wanted to get to, y'all. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. How many of you know God is able to raise the dead? Amen? I mean, our God is able to do anything He wants to do whenever He gets ready to do it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, our God can. Now, the rest of you that didn't say that, say it out loud. Our God can. He can. He's able. He is ready. And so Paul said, the reason I've got this death sentence is the reason this trouble's been given to me, the reason we're suffering like we are, is so that I might stop trusting in myself. Can you believe a preacher is trusting in his own resources and his own strength and his own power and his own wisdom and his own IQ? Hello? I can, because I'm the poster child for this. When stuff happens, you know what I want to do? I want to fix it. Guys, you listen to your pastor. You can't fix it, but he can. And that's why suffering comes our way. It's so that we can learn how to trust Him rather than trusting in ourselves and our own strength. By the way, God's not impressed with my ability. And ladies, I love y'all. I love y'all. You girls are bad to the bone. But He's not impressed with your beauty. And y'all, He's not overly took back by our talent. And He's not impressed with our IQ. You know why? He's the one that gave it to us. Are y'all with me today? He gave us all that. He knows. And so, God wants us to stop trusting in our ability and our resources and our strength and our intelligence and our stuff, and to learn how to trust Him. That's why suffering comes. And so, when you've been crushed and you don't have any more strength, when you are having those thoughts of hopelessness and helplessness, and when you've received what amounts to a death sentence, and you'd be willing to say, I'm at the end of my rope, that's exactly where God wants you. Because you see, it is then that he can do what only he can do. It is then. You know, I found out a while back that when Jesus is all you've got, he's all you need. Let me say it over here. When you find out that Jesus is really all you've got, he's all you need. He's enough. Somebody about had a spell. How many of you know Jesus is enough? He is enough. Whatever it is that you're going through, he's enough. And he can Trish, we used to sing a song. Boy, she popped up when I called her name. We used to sing a song, "Take Your Burden to the Lord." Remember it? Can you sing just a little bit of that you remember? Here's the words. Y'all, on Sunday night, she'll just bust into one. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you will trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Some of y'all are here today and you're carrying a huge burden. And God is available today to carry that burden for you. Could I just share one verse of Scripture with you? Ellen, Psalm 55:22. I believe that's right. Psalm 55:22. That's it. Y'all need to memorize this one. Cast your burden on whom? The Lord. And he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And that word moved means to be shaken. That's a promise from the Word of God today, folks. That's a promise from God's Word. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And so here's what I'd like us to do. Anytime you hear the Word of God, there's a response that's going to be made on my end and yours. And I ask you to bring that burden and give it to the Lord today. Do y'all know what an altar call is? Some of you are scared to death of an altar. You hadn't been to an altar in 30 years. You know what an altar call is? It's simply a call to prayer. That's all that is. A prayer meeting. And here's what I want to ask you to do today. Symbolically saying, by coming, just leaving your burden right here. Let God have it. Give it to him. Totally. And then after you prayed and you've cast your burden on the Lord and you've claimed this promise that he's going to sustain you, I want you to get up and then go back to your seat and leave that burden here with him. Well, if I do that, Brother Cal, my problems will all be solved. Probably not, but it won't be your responsibility to take care of it any longer. Did you get that? It will not be your responsibility any longer to have to deal with it. It's not your problem anymore. You won't have to try to figure it out or work it out if you'll just roll this burden over on the Lord. And so what I want us to do is literally, and I don't care if we empty the whole church house out, but there's something special about an altar call because it's a call to prayer. And it's a call to roll your burden over on the Lord. And I want to ask you today to just come, take your mask off, and roll that burden over on the Lord and leave it there. Lydia's going to come and play. We're going to ask you all to just do what the Scripture says to do. Can I pray for you? And then I'm going to ask you to just come. Father, some in here are suffering big time. And a lot of folks don't even know it. And I pray, God, that somehow, some way, you would give us the confidence to simply trust your word this morning, to do what it says. And so, God, I ask that you would give us what we need to let go of this mess. And it's not, Lord, that you're going to put more on us than we can bear. We'll never be able to put more on you than you can bear. And so that's what this altar call is all about today. Oh God, would you speak to our hearts about these issues? Bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.